Hello, Peter Goodwin here with the Audio Journal of Oncology. In triple negative breast cancer, neoadjuvant pembrolizumab can bring big benefits to patients, but not to all of your patients. That's according to Laura Vant Veer from UCLA in San Francisco. Well, I met up with Laura at the 2024 European Breast Cancer Conference in Milan, and she told me about the I-SPY 2 trial results that have genetically identified the 25% or so of patients who don't respond to neoadjuvant immunotherapy with pembrolizumab.
New drugs for breast cancer, they are traditionally actually tested either in triple negative patients or in hormone receptor positive and other drugs in HER2 positive. So that leads to that new drugs, when tested in triple negative patients, get approved for use in triple negative and others same way in hormone receptor positive patients. But the underlying, by even though the outside of the tumor cell is either having an estrogen receptor, progesterone receptor on the outside, and the triple negatives, none of that, but the inside is actually can be very diverse. So I'm a molecular biologist, and my interest is to understand if what is the mechanism of action, as we call it, for a specific targeted drug. When does it work and when does it not work? No. And this particular immune drugs, they sort of activate the patient's immune system. They don't necessarily care about whether the tumor is hormone receptor positive or triple negative. They're not doing anything with that.
Right. So in fact, immunotherapy has become quite a standard, hasn't it, in the case of triple negative breast cancer?
So my focus is on primary diagnosed early breast cancer. So in early breast cancer, in triple negative patients, the immune therapy is now standard of care, which is great because it does really well. But back to my point that I'm making, that even though the outside of the tumor cells in these patients do not express hormone receptors or HER2, the mechanism of action of the drug is targeting a different biology. So it's activating the immune system. So what we started to do is to take all our knowledge, I'm a biologist, all of our knowledge of immune cells and immune pathways, if we call it, that will start to signal once a cell is activating the immune system. And so we applied that to separately actually triple negative breast cancer patients, but also actually hormone receptor positive. And we then evaluated if a triple negative breast cancer patients in those trials, the response is maybe 50% to the immune drug. If you now really focus on the subset of those triple negative patients that have that will be receptive to that treatment because they already have their immune system ready to go or are able to manipulate that so that it will work, then in those patients, the prediction of the response, as we call it, what we have shown, if you really focus on the immune biology in those triple negative breast cancers, if you have the immune biology active, your response rate will go up to 70%. But that also means, and that is a subset, that the subset that does not have the immune biology active actually hardly benefits from the immune therapy. And since those therapies can have severe side effects, you can make a choice, like the patients who have the immune biology active and our signature, our test is called IMPRINT, then they have a high likelihood of response. If there is some side effect, patients may want to take it. But if in the situation of an IMPRINT negative tumor, the likelihood of response is very low and the side effects are still there, then the balance is different and patients may choose not to do. And moreover, because I'm working in a bigger trial platform setting, we actually have other suggestions for those patients, right, what they could benefit from.
Yes. Now, do I gather from what you're saying that there may well be something of a tendency for using immunotherapy because it has proved to be so effective, mm-hmm, in many patients who wouldn't benefit?
It has been proven to be benefit if you take a large group of triple negative patients. Let's say half of them will benefit, but the other half will not. So what we are able to do with this imprint signature, that we focus on those that will have the benefit and thereby increasing it to 70% or higher.
Right, and what sort of saving might you potentially get then in terms of toxicities from the immunotherapy?
So immune drugs have the general toxicities that many treatments have, but in a few percent, it's like people have published so far, maybe 5% of patients may get adrenal insufficiency, so their kidneys will stop working, or they will get diabetes, and those are very severe side effects that will be permanent and cannot be changed. Many of the other side effects can be reversed, but there are a few that will stay for life.
Right.
And
right.
So that's a decision to balance, what do I want?
Right. So could you tell me what you did in the I-SPY 2 trial?
So in the I-SPY 2 trial, which is running now for 14 years, we have tested 23 different drugs. And we, of those, I was focusing today in my presentation in Milan on five arms where different immune oncology drugs were tested, includes the well-known pembrolizumab, durvalumab, and cemiplimab, and or combinations with actually a dual targeting. And so what we did is that we looked whether if we take those patients that have been treated, and if we focus on whether the tumor has the immune biology active that we think will be helpful for this drug to work, what is then the result? So we found that if you do that, if you take all triple negatives in our study, then the response rate to these drugs is 54%. But if you just take the group that is imprint biology active, then you get to 70% and higher.
Right. I noticed you mentioned pembrolizumab, but are these immunotherapies all falling into the same sort of prediction pattern with your testing?
So far, what we have done, they do. So they have already been tested and presented that all of these regimens, different PD-1 or PD-L1 or combination, are active. In, for instance, triple negative breast cancer, and also in a subset for hormone receptor positive, the effect can vary a little. I mean, the actual benefit may be a little higher, a little lower, but in general they do, and so there are now trials underway to confirm what I-SPY has found in sort of a smaller subset.
Right. Now, in principle, what could cancer doctors potentially be able to do to harness the power of these response predictive subtypes?
So I think currently this biomarker that we developed is only used in the I-SPY 2 trial. So we're testing it there to see and confirm that what we have found in those five arms, if we now use it in subsequent immune drug arms, that it actually does what we predict it will do. So that needs to happen first. And since you're then allocating the immune drug treatment to patients who are imprint positive, that requires a regulatory safety level. So the trial got from the FDA a so-called investigational device exempt status. That means that the FDA is confident that it can be tested. Of course, it also wants to see what the result is. Mm-hmm. So it will take some time before it becomes a standard biomarker. We're also interested and proceeding to actually test other trials with that same biomarker.
How much further do you think we can go with individualizing immunotherapies then? Have we got some way to go? Because there have been great achievements of immunotherapy, but you're now pointing out there are also some drawbacks.
Well, I think it all depends what benefit level somebody, a physician or a patient, is satisfied with. If you're satisfied that half of the patients will respond and you don't care that much about the side effects, I don't think anybody is in that way, but let's for my example, then you would now give immune therapy to all triple negative patients. But if it's more and more clear that there are these permanent side effects that you would like to avoid, and if there is maybe an alternative treatment for these patients which not includes immune drugs, then you can propose to that patient another treatment. That's not there yet. That needs to be proven in these clinical trials, but we are moving forward in I-SPY to do that. And actually, there are other confirmatory trials by the different immune drug pharma companies that are interested to do this as well, or are actually using it already.
Many, many patients with breast cancer are really up there with the information. They know about genetic testing. What kind of conversations do you think cancer doctors might be needing to have now about genetic testing to improve the individualization, specifically of immunotherapy, with their patients?
I think, well, beyond what I presented today, which is called IMPRINT, the clinical trials sort of in triple negative, they included all comers triple negative. I think even on the sort of the biology that the pathologist can see, number of infiltrating lymphocytes, which is the immune system, in the tumor, there one can already increase the likelihood of the response prediction. So I think in the coming 3 years, so it's not for a patient today, these things will happen. I think if a patient is diagnosed today, what I recommend to women who approach me, go to a center where such clinical trials are done so that you can participate so that everybody can find who will benefit the most.
Okay, could you summarize then for me what you have found and what the take-home messages for doctors should be at this point?
I think the clear message that we found that for triple-negative breast cancer patients, there is a group that benefits really well, but there's also a proportion, which is about one third of them, that actually will not benefit at all, or actually only minimal. So the question is if the harms of side effects outweigh the benefit. That's not a clinical test today. And there are other tests being developed as well, but that will come. I think the take-home message is that we are starting to see that we can identify the biology of who responds and who not. And in the near term, we will have clinical assays that can help to decide who would get an immune therapy and who not.
And in the landscape of individualized therapy, what are you going to offer the patients who are not suitable for benefit from an immunotherapy then? Have you got a good answer for that at the moment?
There, that's a very good question. So in our I-SPY 2, which is a platform trial, we have tested 23 different drug regimens to date. And a proportion of these patients that are not responding to the immune drug actually respond really well to DNA repair inhibitor drugs. So as an alternative, I think part of them, also that's not yet a clinical test today in the clinic, but that's what we're using in the trial, they get these other treatments to get DNA repair inhibitor drugs.
And the benefit is they could totally avoid any potential toxicities from immunotherapy.
That would be. I mean, every therapy has toxicities, so it's all sort of a weighing of harms and benefits. For that reason, we're actually developing, because I-SPY 2 trial has now enrolled almost 2,700 patients, we're developing a so-called clinical benefit index. So that is the that will take into account the benefit efficacy as well as the harm of the side effects, and then come to sort of a weighted reference.
Of course, the doctor needs to know her patient very well, because the side effects, things like, for instance, the metabolic syndrome that you alluded to, vary between patients, don't they?
That's true. And so for that, we're also gathering more data to really understand how severe are the side effects. Can we actually, are there other biomarkers, very different ones, that can actually help foretell who would have those risks?
Okay, a quick bottom line for me then.
I think the bottom line is that we are in an exciting time, that immune therapy is really helping a lot of patients, and they should continue to get these treatments. There might be some side effects. We want to actually understand who might get those so that we can put that in where in the advice. And then for those that are not likely to respond to immune drug, we have some other options and we need to find more other ones.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
That was Laura Van Veer, Professor of Laboratory Medicine and co-leader of the Breast Oncology Program at the Helen Diller Family Comprehensive Cancer Center, University of California in San Francisco. Laura was talking with me at the 2024 European Breast Cancer Conference held in Milan, Italy. That's all from this edition of the Audio Journal of Oncology. We'll be back soon with more. From me, Peter Goodwin, goodbye.